Hi, you entrepreneurs. Today we have Lynn Abate Johnson. She is classified as a coach, a muse, but she in essence is a digital marketing strategist that helps people build relationships and build business. Because I know you guys are listening because you're probably trying to build a business, trying to figure out how I can take your business to the next level. You're going to want to listen to this and hear some great tidbits. It's one of our longer episodes, but the reason why it's so much longer than a lot of the other ones is because just so much tidbits to take out of Lynn. Hopefully you enjoyed. Hopefully you subscribe and tell your friends.
Welcome to the Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with real estate agent Vinny SD.
We are here with Lynn Abate Johnson.
Good job.
I got the last name right?
You got it.
Johnson was clean. That was really clean.
Too easy.
Too easy.
I didn't want to make it too easy for you.
So she is the coach. She is, in essence, a digital marketing strategist that helps people build relationships and build business.
That's right.
All right. So tell us a little bit about in more depth of what you do.
Okay. Yes. So that's what I do. I develop businesses that grow their communities, and I can teach internal teams how to do that. And I also run social media for companies that outsource to me. And in fact, my passion client and the company that I work with now, the biggest one, is a global company called CTI. Mm-hmm. It's the Coactive Training Institute. And it's based here in the United States, but it's a global company that's built over the last 25 or more years. And so what I do for them specifically is I have become the voice of that company.
Oh, wow.
So that's one thing that companies will do is they'll bring me in to become the voice of the brand. And so on the social media channels especially is where I focus. And I do all of the organic social media. So right now for CTI, we're running Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And that because that's where their audiences are. And next year we'll be kind of reopening the YouTube channel. And it's really fun because it's a very engaged, giant community all over the world. People from lots of different cultures and speaking different languages. So there's a lot of nuance to that.
Being that you have like so many different companies that you help and mm-hmm. you're like the focal point of spreading their message across,
mm-hmm.
is it like almost like a, I guess, an acting gig where you have different parts you have to get into that company,
I definitely
character
do.
Kind of thing?
Yes. And that's the reason why I only say yes to clients that I love.
Yeah.
Companies that I would promote probably anyway. Hmm. I am known as a connector. You know, people come to me and they ask me for recommendations, and I'm always connecting people with the products and the services that yeah. can help make their lives easier and better. And so in the realm of what I do as an online community director, yeah, I have to get into the mindset and really, and it's something that I don't take lightly because, you know, they trust me to be their voice. Yeah. And, you know, we've all heard the horror stories of companies that have the wrong people in place doing that. Yeah. And they'll go off on a customer in public, online, on Twitter or Facebook, and it's just not nice.
Yeah.
And it gets messy. And then they have to kind of do damage control, and then it becomes a PR problem, right? So I would say if I were giving advice to somebody like me, and there are a lot of people coming up in the community manager industry, I would say, you know, you have to really vet your clients and also vet their audiences and know who you're talking to and make sure that you really love them. Like you would want to promote them anyway. It's not just marketing either. It could be because it becomes customer service. It becomes a little bit of sales. You know, there are all kinds of sales assists that we do with, you know, I'm part of a marketing team at CTI, which is amazing. 'Cause when I worked for smaller clients, I did it all myself from A to Z. So all the content generation, all the graphics, everything from A to Z.
What happens, let's say if someone comments on one of your posts,
mm-hmm.
who in the company for your big company, your CTE, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. who responds to it? Is it the marketing team?
Me.
Respond? Okay, you respond
it's
to
only
it.
Me.
Okay.
I'm one consistent voice. Okay. So, and eventually that'll grow. As our company grows, then the team will grow. Okay. I remember when I first started in this industry, many years ago, more years than I can remember, I went to a conference for digital marketing and a guy who is now my friend, actually he's from Sonoma, Bill Johnston, he was running community at Dell Computers.
Oh, wow.
And he was on stage doing a keynote and he said that right now, and this was back I think in 2008 or something, Dell Computers had 100 people on their social media team alone.
Wow.
100 people. So you can imagine that's a global company as well, right? So they have to have people covering all of the time zones, all of the cultures, all of the languages, all of the issues. And then I'm sure they had, you know, like a separate place for customer support where the people coming online and making comments or having questions or even having issues or problems or let's say trolls, whatever, would get funneled into like the customer service side. So I can't even imagine that 100 people on one social media team because I do it all myself right now and I always have.
So if, and this just so intrigues me, like, because I, like, let's say Jack in the Box, right?
Mm-hmm.
They try to give a more funny message. You see a lot of their stuff. It's like late night, you know, come for food and that stuff.
Yeah.
So is some of the companies that you work for, do they go, okay, we're okay with being a little silly. Are we okay with being a little this or that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so when somebody engages me to coach them, I go through a whole interview. Like I have a 90-minute onboarding intake interview where I ask them questions about their culture, about their stakeholders, who they are for themselves. Like, why are they even in this business?
Yeah.
And who are they for their communities? So, because it's different.
Yeah.
You know, you had Jeff from Everbowl on, and he was talking about really being able to identify, you know, who his customers are and what his mission is. Why does he get up in the morning? What's his reason for existing?
Yeah.
So I do that on a really granular level. Mm. The minute I say yes to somebody, that's the first thing we do is we get on this 90-minute conversation about who they are. And because most brands don't have a firm grasp of their identity.
Mm.
And that's where the problems come in. That's what happens is if you don't know who you are, how can you serve others?
And I'm assuming these different companies evolve too. So do you have to reassess it every 6 months, year, month, or is
it's an ongoing thing. And I actually like to have touch base, you know, meetings with the people that I'm working with directly.
Hmm.
Right now what I'm doing is more of the coaching end because I'm so full, you know, working with CTI that now I'm moving more into a coaching and consulting practice, which is helping people who have internal teams. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times they'll just have one or two assistants, even if it's a smaller business. And so those people just sometimes don't understand the nuances of building community or the structure. So what I'll do is I'll come in and again, I'll interview them. I'll see who the people are that they have working with them.
Yeah.
And then I will work with those teams to coach them, to kind of check in on them and see what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I may not be running their social media channels, but I'll be teaching others how to do that.
Oh.
And so then I can kind of keep an eye on them and say, okay, this is great. And then my goal is to have them not need me anymore.
Oh.
So I come in and out. You know, it's a short-term engagement and they'll bring me in just to give them some coaching. And sometimes it's just a little tweak and we can get it done in a matter of, you know, a couple weeks or a month.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can do some really solid training with them and then I can show them examples. I have a whole curriculum that I created years ago when I was teaching classes locally at like a local Apple provider in Sonoma. And it was local mom and pop businesses mostly who just, they knew they were behind on the times. They knew they needed to be on social media. They thought they had to be everywhere. They were referred to me because people were saying, go to Lynn. She's, you know, the social media expert or guru, which I hate those terms, but you know, that's how people view me. And so they would refer people to me like that. And I said, you know what, let's do some classes. And we did. So I put together this whole curriculum and I was just teaching people kind of the basics of, you know, the theory, you know, like when you study music theory first.
Yeah.
So it's important to know the why does social media exist and why is it not going to solve all of your problems as a business owner? You know, that's another thing that people would come to me for is they'd say, oh, my business is struggling. I really need help. I need to be on Facebook. And, you know, and I'd say, why? Why do you think that? You know, who's telling you that you have to be on social media? Because maybe you don't. And maybe you need to get your business structure in place. Maybe I had one guy that was a restaurant owner, and he literally admitted to me that he had an anger management problem.
Oh, wow.
And that his front of the house was not organized at all because his servers didn't even know what the specials were when they came into work each day. There was nobody to teach them, to coach them, to get them, give them a little pep talk about, hey guys, this is what's fresh today, and here's what we want you to promote to the customers. Mm. So this restaurant owner was an amazing chef, but he sucked at business and running his front end. So I said, you're not ready for me yet. Fix your front end first. Make sure that you have your infrastructure really dialed in so that even if we do send you more business through this one thing called social media, you're prepared to serve those customers in a really great way and keep them coming back.
That's powerful. Like just hearing you talk about the idea, you turned away business, at least pushing business off for a later time frame because they weren't ready for you.
Yeah.
Some people would be like, okay, we'll just find a way to take your money right now. And then the other avenue of actually allowing them the opportunity to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So one time they're going to actually grow bigger than you, that they don't need you or they can do it on their own.
Yeah.
Like both those things right there, usually in this day and age, people are not willing to do that.
Yeah.
So it's great.
I have an abundance mentality. That's so that means that I used to have a
scarcity.
And well, I used to have a slogan that, said there's enough for everyone.
Yeah.
Right. Get your slice. And, but that was then because I really needed to remind myself too, that there's plenty for everybody.
Yeah.
And in my industry, you know, one of the things that I would like to do down the road is teach other people like me who are coming up that don't know about how to run a business around this.
Yeah.
How do you run a business around building community for brands?
Yeah.
Well, I've done it and I did it the hard way and I learned to not grab onto every, you know, I was hungry when I was younger, I was super hungry and I needed the money and I wanted every gig that I could get. And so I did say yes to some business owners that did not have it together and that ended up, I couldn't help them. I tried and I'm kind of a people pleaser and I wanted to help everybody and I'm kind of a mama bear. So I like to nurture people and help them be successful. But, you know, I had to realize you can't do that.
It can be hard sometimes. I know, especially in the real estate field, I see a lot of people that I talk to, other agents,
mm-hmm.
and that scarcity mindset is just is so out there that once you can switch it over to the abundance mindset, it just changes the way you talk to people.
Yes, it's amazing. And for me, it's been invaluable to have, you know, like the CMX Hub. This is an organization that's grown over many years of doing conferences and mentoring people who are wanting to get into the community manager industry. And it is the future. And it doesn't really matter what the social media channels decide to do.
Mm.
That never is going to matter. They're going to change. They're going to morph. They're going to grow. They're going to sell to somebody else, right? And it doesn't matter because community is community. People are people. If we treat people like human beings and grow relationships, rather than, you know, we focus on growing the relationships before the business grows, right? So that's how it always was. You know, and in the olden days, you know, the barbers used to be out on the street corners, right? And they'd stand out there if they didn't have a customer and they'd be shaking hands and saying, hey, what's up, Charlie? You know, and meeting the neighborhood people. And they grew that, what we call kind of know, like, and trust factor. Yeah. They grew that organically. We can always do that. It doesn't matter what the tools are. And I always say to people, you know, use the tools. Don't let the tools use you.
Hmm.
Because there's too much.
Yeah.
And for me, I like shiny objects. I like when there's a new app. I'm all about it. You should see my phone with all the apps I have. But really, it comes back to basics of what tools can I use to help me have conversations with people that are going to make a difference for not only those people and make life easier for them, but also for the businesses that I represent. And so I can translate that easily to other, it doesn't matter what business I'm working with.
Yeah.
I can translate that easily and I can train these teams to do a better job of listening. You know, social listening is a huge thing and it's so overlooked.
Well, usually, not usually, but there's a lot of individuals that they'll hear a word that you're saying and mm-hmm. they're already thinking of the response instead of actually soaking in the whole conversation that you're having.
Yes.
And then come with something.
Right.
But they want to feel like, okay, I can be on your same level.
Right. Right. And so it's funny because when you do, when you're looking at your phone or you're looking at your, like, let's say Facebook, for example, or even Twitter, which is a little bit more difficult because you only have 280 characters.
Yeah.
And, as a recovering English major, and also I majored in psychology and English in college, I know I've gotten really lazy with the 280 on Twitter, you know, abbreviating and not punctuating correctly, but things can get misunderstood, right? And so not only is the listening critical, but it's also the speaking into others listening. Yeah. Like, what are they really saying here? Because a lot of times you lose in the translation.
Yeah. Text messages, Twitter.
It's so those hard. Kind
of, it's, yeah. It's like you'll think you're saying something of positive and the way they're perceiving it is a negative mindset. Mm-hmm. So sometimes even after I send a text, I go, should I call them up and just make sure we're on the same page?
I know. Like, yeah. I tend to be very direct and to the point.
Yeah.
And that can come off sometimes as being terse on like in writing online. Yeah. So I make a practice to not ever go there. Like, in my relationship building online with customers who they don't know me and I don't know them. And they definitely, when I'm representing a company like CTI, I'm never going to go there. And, you know, I follow rules for myself, like rules of my business, rules of engagement. You know, I don't talk politics. I don't talk religion. I don't get into kind of, you know, down in the gutter kind of, if people come on, you know, the more popular a business gets and the more notoriety and the more celebrity they take on, the more trolls they're going to have and the more haters. And so there's actually a book by Jay Baer called Hug Your Haters. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's amazing. And so that's what I do. I like to just love on people, even if they might be having a bad day, you know, so I always assume the best. And that's what I would say to other people too.
Well, one thing that I tell people, I tell agents, because and so I would do a little coaching, and one thing that's, if you can think about this every time if you're talking to someone, you're not as important as you think you are, because they might be having a bad day. You don't know what's going on in their life.
Yep.
And just because they yelled at you today doesn't mean they're going to yell at you tomorrow or the next day.
There was that's a really good point. It reminds me of, did you ever hear of Zig Ziglar?
Yeah.
Okay. So I came up on Zig Ziglar, and he, you know, before he died, he was, you know, speaking, and I would go to different, you know, training events with him. One of the things he said, and I loved his books. In fact, I just gave his book, See You at the Top, to my niece, who just got into business for herself, and she's in a sales business. But he said, you know, when you're, and his was before digital marketing, but he would say, when you're looking at a person, you know, just say, I love you in your head. Like, they could say anything. And you, if you have that thought, I love you, it's going to impact how you relate to them. The same, you can do the same thing online. It's no different. It's a little bit more difficult to look them in the eye because you can't physically, but it really is the same thing. Like my friend and also my business coach, Brian Kramer, you know, he coined the phrase human to human. There's no longer B2B or B2C. It's now human to human, H2H, right? He wrote a couple of books on it, and it's so true. It's just treating people the same way that we've always treated people, with kindness, and be good to people, like my shirt. And it's really important to, you know, see people as human beings with all kinds of, you know, we all have issues in our tissues, right? And sometimes we show up at our best, and sometimes we show up not at our best. And so I think a lot of times, you know, everyday people get behind the keyboard and they get what they call keyboard courage. And if they're having a crappy day, they're going to let it out somehow.
Well, sometimes it's just because I think how Tony Robbins says it, he says that we're all fighting for something in this world. And one of the one of the things that we fight for is the idea to feel like we have power. Right. And so the idea, some people get power by building their business. Other people, you can pull a gun on someone, you feel they have some power right there. other ideas is the troll avenue, mm-hmm, right? Because mm-hmm. now you're going to get notoriety. Mm-hmm. I was listening to a heckler that did that was for Norman Donald. He's a comedian,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so he Norman Donald actually breaks him down in a thing, and he starts talking to him, and finally the guy was just like, he goes, "No, I like you. Sorry." It was just one of those things that he wanted.
Yeah,
he wanted just some notoriety to himself, yes, that he was important.
Yes. Yes. And there are a couple of recent examples in this last year of how kind of online hecklers.
Yeah.
There was this one. Who's the comedian? Sarah, dark hair. I cannot remember.
Silverman?
Yes. Okay. Sarah Silverman. Yeah. She, I think it was her. And she totally turned it around on Twitter. Some troll
She's fairly good on that. I'll see some stuff.
Yeah. And so I love those stories because you can actually turn people around. Sometimes you can't. I mean, a lot of times you can't. But if you have that sensibility, like, I love people. I love humanity. Like, I'm not going to let somebody else trigger me. And, you know, it takes a lot. Like I said at the beginning, it not only takes awareness for a business to be successful of their own identity, but for those of us who are building communities online.
Well, one of the...
Same thing.
Something that an individual told me, and they go, if someone yells at you or does you wrong,
mm-hmm,
you can just tell yourself they were doing the best they could with the tools they had
at the time. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's really the extent of it. So it's like, why get angry at them? They were doing the best they could.
That's right.
With the tools they had. Like, so you can't get mad at them for
that's
that.
That's right.
And so just be happy, because if you take on that anger, take on that whatever, mm-hmm, that animosity,
mm-hmm,
all it's going to do is affect your day, affect your week, affect your month. And
yeah. And it's not to say that we're not going to get triggered and that we're not going to act out. One of the things I love about being involved with the Coactive Training Institute is, you know, I get to take courses that are amazing and extraordinary, so different, and they're based on leadership. Mm. They have a specific leadership model, and it's five dimensions of leadership. So it's no longer the top-down leadership and coaching the same way. So it's really interesting to be able to learn skills and tools. I guess it's more like tools, but they're inner tools, about how to identify when we get triggered, and how to kind of either turn it around or let it be.
Yeah.
Like, let it flow. And, you know, we talk a lot about that inner voice, that saboteur, right? Who's saying, you're not good enough. You're never going to make it. You know, maybe we were raised that way. Luckily I wasn't raised that way, but, you know, a lot of people were. And so they're already coming into a business thinking they're not going to make it, thinking they're going to fail. And so they act out based on that belief.
Have you heard of Dr. Joe Dispenza?
I think I have, yeah.
He used to be a chiropractor in La Jolla, and then he became like almost like a mind coach, I guess. I don't know what his actual title is.
Okay.
But he goes, basically, by the age of 35, we're a computer program.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're talking about your childhood, everything like that. Anything that happens, you get triggered and going, okay, this is why I'm doing X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I totally agree. We've gone on to so much information right here, but I really have to get into, because I'm so curious, because I think the way you look at things, mm-hmm, has a correlation to you starting work for your family business at, mm-hmm, nine years old.
Yeah, I was like, nine.
Child labor right there.
I know.
Because you've been around people, customer service. So I think that has a strong correlation to what you...
It does. It does. You know, when I started out as a kid, I was waiting on customers. I was born in Detroit, and I was raised I was raised in Los Angeles for my first 10 years, and then we moved back to Michigan. And then I spent another 10 years in Michigan, and so I was like 9 and a half, and they put me to work right away at the family business. That's awesome. And it was roller skating rinks, of all things. So did you ever go to a roller skating rink? So I literally was doing everything there was to do. And that's why I'm also a business consultant, because I have really firm belief in that the business has to be built holistically and with a strong foundation. So, you know, I tell my nieces and nephews now, they're in college and some of them are struggling, trying to figure out what they're going to do, what direction they have. And I was just talking to my 19-year-old nephew last week, and I said, you know, just try out different things. Go and work as an apprentice or an intern, or, you know, work for nothing at some places, just to see what you end up latching onto that you're interested in. I was, you know, scrubbing toilets, waiting on customers at the snack bar. I was playing records as a DJ for all the skaters. You know, I was doing everything that the business needed to have done, except I wasn't handling the money, taking the money to the bank, but I was handling cash. So wow. I learned how to count cash at an early age, is 9 years old. And, you know, my relatives, my grandparents and my parents trusted us as kids to handle the money and to handle the customers. And it was an amazing experience. And so I went on, like, in high school, then, you know, we built another business, another brand new roller rink. And I was literally running that rink in high school and college, which for me, it was great because I'm a firstborn of 5 kids. So I'm uber responsible anyway. I guess it's just genetic. Yeah. But I liked having the responsibility, and I would hire and fire employees. And
was there ever a time that you were saying, oh my gosh, I just want to be a kid?
No, there wasn't a time I wanted to be a kid, but there was, because that was such a service business, we were open nights and weekends and holidays.
Yeah.
So eventually when I got into college, I was just thinking to myself, I can't do this anymore. Like, it was just my whole life.
Yeah.
And I didn't even really want to go to school. Because I just wanted to be running the business and making money. Yeah. And I knew I was good at it. I was kind of a natural leader. So, yeah, I liked having the responsibility. And also, people responded. You know, when you're confident, even if you're not confident, but you're kind of showing confidence and you're trying to lead people, they respond to that. And so I would just have fun. You know, I was a kid. And all of my friends would come and hang out. So I didn't really miss a childhood because a roller skating rink, all your friends are there.
You were the center of attention already.
Well, and place. People would say, you know, in junior high and high school, yeah, her dad owns the rink. You know, and I'd be like, shut up. I don't want to be known that way.
Yeah.
But it was a job, you know. And so, yeah, it was really fun. And it was, but by the time I got into college, I was tired. And I wanted my nights and weekends and holidays. And I was in school and I was learning more about, like, economics and more about psychology. And I was actually majoring also in computer science, which I had no idea that to this day, you know, my English computer science and psychology studies would inform what I'm doing for, you know, building communities online. And it all comes into play. So, yeah, it's really amazing how you can start out as a kid, you know, being brought up in business and getting used to being in business. Mm-hmm. And then you can end up kind of making choices that had to do with what you were doing back then, but in a different way.
Yeah.
Right.
That's so when you got out of college,
mm-hmm.
right, did you ever think about later on in life getting back to the rinks?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No. All right. No. I don't even want to go to Michigan. I'm a California girl. I moved back here in, I think, the late 80s. And, you know, my sister and I moved out here together with our boyfriends. And we moved to Northern California. So, no, I love what I do. And actually, everything I've done in this last, I don't know, 10 or 20 years has brought me to this point.
Yeah.
So I've made tons of mistakes, and that's why I have a heart for teaching people.
So you're saying it's not easy.
No, it's not easy.
Well, can you tell us a little about, like, the mistakes that you've gone through?
Yeah. There was one that sticks out in my, like, haunts me still to this day. And it's because I just did not vet this client well enough, I think, at the beginning. And I ended up, you know, I do contracts, agreements when I get engaged to actually run the social media channels for the brand. And so it's 6 months to start, and then they renew for a year at a time.
Yeah.
So that was my old model of how I did it. And this one client, I just could not help him. About a month went by, and he just was going back and forth. He just didn't get it. You know, he had the wrong idea of what social media was about and what it could do for him. And as much as I tried to explain it, like I said before, speaking into his listening, I was just failing all over the place. I was so inadequate in that. And so I eventually just, you know, got kind of contentious. Like, every time I would get an email from him, it would be like him questioning me about something that I thought I had already explained to him. And I'm like, look, I'm really sorry. I'm being ineffective here. I'm not doing a good job at setting up, you know, the expectation here of how I can serve you. And I think we should part ways, and I'm so sorry. You know, I wish you all the best in your business, but at this point, I can't help you. And this was like a month into our 6-month agreement.
Yeah.
And I just said, you know, I'm gonna make the agreement null and void, and I wish you the best. And it
you
just
moved fairly quick, a month. Like some people I've talked to, it takes them a year, 2 years to get rid of a bad client.
So one of the things that I have innately is I have a pretty good spidey sense.
Yeah.
Like usually I can avoid that happening from the get, but in this case I didn't. And, you know, I asked around about the guy and I said, what do you think? You know, because Sonoma is a small town, right? And so I would ask around about people that I was considering taking on as clients. But then I learned you can't help everybody.
Yeah.
And not everybody is a fit for me. So I'm lucky because I have a network of friends who do what I do.
Yeah.
And I can refer out to them. So I love that. Yeah. And I've intentionally built up this kind of network of specialists who I can refer out to, because I know I'm either not going to be a fit for every single person that is referred to me, or they're not going to be a fit for me. And so then I learned, after making that mistake and having to basically fire that client, which he was my highest paying client at the time, I was running.
There's that abundance mindset.
Yeah. I was running, I think, 4 channels for him.
Wow.
So that was big potatoes. I mean, it was a very good income. And yeah, it freaked me out. It freaked me out financially to let him go, but it freaked me out worse to have a stomach ache every time I saw his name come up on my email.
Yeah.
Like that's not worth it. Yeah. And even then in my youth, you know, like starting a business, I knew it wasn't worth it. Like I was getting ready to go out to the desert for 2 weeks at Burning Man and be off the grid. And I knew I couldn't relax and be present, you know, for that experience, if I had this guy hanging over my head. And
is there ever a time where your abundance mindset kind of wavers a little bit and you kind of almost go back into the scarcity or lean more towards that direction?
I mean,
what pulls you back?
Well, I've learned to trust myself, and I've learned to speak to myself in a way that is empowering. And I've learned to like welcome those negative voices and usher them out the door. So it's like, oh, hello, I see you. That's fear, or that's your saboteur, or that's that nasty old wolf, or whoever, whatever personification it has in your head, and then usher them out. So I do acknowledge it, but it doesn't happen that much anymore like it used to.
So you acknowledge it, and then do you look towards of what's going to happen if you have the abundance mindset, or what's like, is there like someone listening right now, if they're wavering a little bit, like is there something they could do or something they can think about? Or
there's a really like a standard practice that I have, which is that I look at the whole picture. I think it through all the way to the result. So I try and imagine what the result will be if A, B, and C happens, or if I make this choice. And so I'm really good at, my imagination is very vivid. And so I can do that. You know, I can imagine what it's going to look like down the road or what might happen.
Yeah.
And that's why I call myself a realistic optimist, because I'm not like a Pollyanna, like, oh, everything's great. No, I know. And I actually learned this when my mom got cancer and then she was dying and I was a caregiver for her. I learned that there's reality and there's what you think might happen or could happen or you wish would happen, right? And there's no sense in kind of wishing things would happen in a certain way, because there's so much that we're not in control of. So I really learned to be realistic about things and look at what all the worst case scenarios could be.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do that to a fault. Ask my family. They'll tell you, they're like, stop thinking that way. You can't think that way. And I'm like, well, yeah, I can, because I'm imagining how to mitigate a situation down the road, like how to make sure something doesn't happen, or how to do my part, not to control it, but to set up the circumstances so that they flow, so that there's more of an ease. You know, I also have learned not to force things.
Yeah.
So if something comes into my life and there's a choice, I'm not going to force it.
Yeah.
And I've learned that when we force things, it just goes bad. things can turn out bad when you force it. So my thing is really to kind of do my best, do what I can do to as far as I can control it. Yeah, control it. But then you have to just give it up, like at some point, and be patient and then see what happens. So I think that when you do your best and you visualize all the scenarios, then I think you're going to be okay. As long as you have patience, and I'm not the most patient person in the world. And I've learned, right? So that's the whole practice.
Yeah.
Through all of this in life, in business, it really doesn't even matter what you're doing. But the learning is critical. And so I'm always reading books. I'm always listening to podcasts like yours. Mm. Like, I was really impressed, you know, listening to a handful in one day. It was great. And also going to conferences where I get fed, because I know that I have to be fed too.
Yeah.
I'm always feeding other people, and literally and figuratively. I love to cook and I love to feed other people, but also spiritually, emotionally, you know, in a business, it's all the same to me. So,
well, one of the things that kind of help me change the mindset of an idea of failure. Mm-hmm. Nothing's a failure if you learn from it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you can fail away because it's not truly a failure because you learned something from it.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, my mom taught me that too. It's like, if you learn the lesson from it, you didn't fail.
Yeah.
So, and there's all kinds of ways, you know, my niece even got a tattoo on her arm. She's a Olympic athlete. Well, not Olympic yet, but she's going for the Olympics.
What, can you say her name?
Her name is Nikita.
Oh,
and
good luck, Nikita.
Yeah, thank you. And she's a BMX freestyle rider. So.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So she's traveling internationally all year long. And then hopefully next year in 2020, she'll be riding in the Tokyo Olympics.
Wow.
But she also, you know, she deals with fears, right? And anxiety and stuff. And the competition and being on her bike is not fearful for her really at all. It's all the other stuff that goes along with it.
Well, you'd think like them doing like twists and turns, like they could get injured.
Oh, but yeah. They get injured all the time.
But like you said, they probably visualize that they're doing it. They did the turn. They did the jump. They did that kind of thing.
Yes.
And so that's why they're able to do it with no fear.
Yes. Yes. So that piece of it for her is easy. But she got this tattoo on her arm that said, no failures, only less. No. Oh, I can't remember now. And it's in French because she's bilingual. She speaks French. But that's something that, you know, my mom, her grandmother really instilled in us, is just to try things and see how it goes. And so that's what I always say to people who are getting into the business, you know, try it. If your heart's in it, then, and you can do it from your heart, you're going to win. You're going to win. At least you're going to learn. And you'll learn maybe what the next step is for you. I used to think it wasn't cool to do business from your heart. You know, I used to think you had to kick everybody's butt. Like,
well, I almost think it's good to come from your heart, but you also have to protect yourself a little bit. Because I think there's some people that will take advantage of different situations, especially if you give them a little bit, they want a little more. And
well, so that's the learning piece of it that I had to do, right? And I had to learn to be very intentional. And so when you're working from your heart, it doesn't mean that you're going to be a sucker and that you're going to say yes to everybody. So I've had to actually teach myself how to say no.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine at the beginning of the year, we talked in January, and she said to me, you know what, Lynn, this year, if it's not a hell yes, it's going to be a firm no. And so that's been my motto for this year. Like, what do I say yes and what do I say no to?
Yeah.
And if it's not a really super enthusiastic, oh, hell yes, I'm all about that, then it's a no. It's a no. Sorry. Because now I'm in a position where I'm working a lot and happily working so much that I really do have to be kind of choosy about, you know, and maybe risk hurting somebody's feelings if they want to hang out with me and I can't.
Yeah.
I got to say no. You know, I can't please everybody. Can't make everybody happy. Some people aren't going to like me. Oh, well. And when I was in sales, I trained my team to think to themselves, you know, if you ask somebody and they reject you, then just think to yourself, some will, some won't. So what? Who's next?
Yeah.
Like, always go to the next.
Well, there was, who was it? Someone else told me this, where in each of your business, you probably have a rough idea of your numbers, how many no's it takes to get to that yes. Mm-hmm. And so I was listening to a podcast or something, and they were saying, every time you get a no, say thank you. Because I'm one person next, closer to my next.
Yes.
To my yes. Yeah. So
closer to the yes.
Yeah. Yep. So it's like, how you're saying, there's so many things. Like, I think it was Jim Rohn, right? Mm-hmm. He goes, life is not what it is, it's how you perceive it, or something like that.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that's the thing, like everything you're talking about,
yes.
It's if someone else had your life or had this, they would be like, oh, this is the worst. Or people would be even happier than it is. So it's just how you look at things.
It's perspective.
Yeah.
Yes, perspective is so important. It's really, it's one of those cornerstones of, you know, how you're actually looking at something and what makes a difference for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, I work a lot and I'm like, I work every day. I don't take any days off, but that's because I feel responsible to our community.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, just because we might be celebrating a holiday here in the United States, my global audience is not.
Yeah.
They are from other walks of life, other religions. They practice other holidays. So when they're online, you know, it's important for us to be online as well so that they know we're holding them and we're listening to them and that we're here for them. And so I'll even say that, you know, in like on a tweet, you know, I'll be like, thank you for your question, da 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 da. I'll refer them to the website, a certain page on the website to get more information, or maybe somebody at the headquarters. And then I'll say, we're here for you. And imagine how that feels to a customer in Spain or in Abu Dhabi or, you know, like in Asia. Like, that's a universal language.
Yeah.
And we know studies have shown that there are things that are universal no matter who you are or where you come from. Mm. One is love, and the other for me is music. You know, those things heal. Those things heal people.
I had a guy, Bill, I can't say his last name, but I had him on, and he teaches people how to use music to elicit those emotions.
Oh, wow.
And so, but it is powerful. Like, there's songs that I have that I listen to,
yeah,
and I start thinking about basically childhood or this person,
yeah,
or whatever it might be. And
yeah,
so I totally agree with you. So what's next for you and your company?
Well, I'm doing digital business assessments. So I'm helping business owners figure out where they are. Like, where exactly am I right now? What does my online reputation look like? And I am the voice of the consumer. So I can come in as a fresh set of eyes and I can evaluate and assess their social media presence and also their online presence. So their website, even email signatures and things like that. Who are you showing up as? What do you look like to just everyday person?
Yeah.
So I'm that everyday person, but I'm trained, right? And I know what it takes to build a business from the ground up.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. I really like to do those digital business assessments. And then, you know, companies are bringing me in to coach their teams, you know.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. I'm doing the, you know, full-time community building with CTI. And
so if someone's looking to bring you in or take on your services, what would be the best way of them getting in contact with you?
Well, one is on the socials. If they're on any of the socials, especially the main ones, they'll find me at, I'm the same handle, can you believe it?
That's
on
impressive.
Every single one. That doesn't happen very often. And that's LAJBIZ for biz. So Lynn Abate Johnson, biz. So LAJBIZ. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, I'm there. And then I'm LynnAbateJohnson.com. So you probably have it on your
notes. We'll have it in there. So if you're looking, if you're looking for her services, and this is one of our longest ones. It was, I believe it was so much information. Hopefully, everyone listening right now got some great information. And I'm gonna try your last name one more time, Lynn Abate Johnson.
Got it.
Oh my gosh, I'm like a professional now. So again,
you can do the ethnic names.
Sometimes I have trouble. Sometimes. So again, hopefully everyone listening got some great tidbits here about building relationships and grow your business, grow your network, grow your relationships. And but if you need a specialist to kind of look at your platform or what you're actually portraying to the people out there, give Lynn a call. I know she has words of wisdom that we could probably gone on for another 30 minutes, hours, and 2 hours. So, but again, thank you again, Lynn, for all your time.
Thank you for having me.
Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. See you in the next one.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.vinnysd.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. Team Vinny SD, signing off.